When you see him start to motor down, I got to motor down. Come out of it first and watch your hands, okay?
Blue 40!
We're in good shape. Keep rolling.
He's going to score! T.Y. Hilton, 70 yards! Touchdown, Reggie Wayne!
Let's go! Let's go! Let's go, baby!
Hey, it's got to be all day now, right?
And the ball is stripped and recovered by the Colts.
Play as hard as you can. Play as fast as you can. Play as smart as you can. Be tougher than a man over you.
Colts win! Colts win! Colts win!
Welcome to Colts.com and the Colts Weekly Podcast. Here now with an in-depth conversation on the Colts is Kevin Bowen and the voice of the Colts, Bob Lamy.
Looking back on the Broncos game, because we didn't have the podcast following the Broncos game during the bye week, I really thought that game kind of changed when Robert Mathis had that second quarter sack, Peyton Manning, all the momentum shifted to the Colts' way, and you saw 23 unanswered points, and it really was a great end of the first half of the season considering all the injuries to go 5-2 and beat three of the best teams in the NFL. Pretty good feat for this team.
Yeah, and Kevin, if you ask any of the players, they're going to say we should be 6-1 or 7-0. But as people have been wont to say for 100 years in the NFL, you are what your record says you are. So we're 5-2. We're in first place and got, a two-game lead over Tennessee and three over Houston. I don't think anybody saw that coming. Mm-hmm. Not the fact that we're in first, but the fact that Houston's off to 2-5 and Tennessee 3-4. Right. It's just a testament to the owner, Jim Irsay, who allows Ryan Grigson and Chuck Pagano to do what they do. And it seems like every move Ryan makes is an astronomically well-done move. Mm-hmm. Trent Richardson, we've not seen the best of Trent yet. He's getting acclimated. I think maybe I told you before, but I was talking with David Walker, the running back coach, and you know he's happy with where Trent is, considering Trent has to learn 200 pass plays.
I think people don't realize there's so much more than just handoff of the ball.
Exactly. He's thinking. He's still thinking. Once he is able to, and I'm seeing him at practice this week, better than I did when we left. Once it becomes second nature to him, you're going to see those 100-yard games. Hopefully we get one down in Houston, but that's the number one defense in the league, and they're very difficult to run on.
Before we get into the Houston game, let's do talk about Reggie Wayne's injury. The last time the Colts ran out on the field without Reggie, I believe Andrew Luck was 12 years old. It's crazy to think what number 87 has meant for this offense, for this locker room, really for this city. He will not physically be there on Sunday or for the rest of the season. You know he will still be there helping out those young wideouts. You mentioned earlier, Bob, it's going to take a group effort. DHB, TY, the tight ends, Wesley Saunders now coming in. It's going to take a group effort to make up for a guy that's got to be in Canton here in the future.
Even with the group effort, Kevin, nobody makes up for Reggie because of what he knows, what he tells players, young guys in particular, what his presence means. Go back a step further, 1998, I think it was, the last year we took a field for a game without either 87 or 88.
Yeah.
And it's difficult. It really is. I was thinking about it during the bye week. And you say loss because Reggie, he's going to come back at some point. But right for the moment, we've lost not only a football player, we've lost a friend, we've lost a guy who epitomizes the horseshoe.
Yeah.
And you can't replace that. You have to try, and guys will step up and will play better. What I'm looking forward to, whenever it happens, whenever Reggie steps on this field at Lucas Oil Stadium again, they better have the roof open. Because this guy, if it was up to Reggie Wayne, he'd start Sunday.
Right.
He's just an incredible thing. I remember when it happened, you know, it was an incomplete pass, so your attention goes elsewhere. It was going to be fourth down. And I look back, and he was still on the field.
Which doesn't happen often.
No. And usually when it does, Reggie's mad at himself. So I'm thinking, boy, he's ticked because he should have caught the pass maybe. Then he didn't get up, and he didn't get up, and the trainers and doctors went out. And as we went to a commercial break, Jim Sorgi and I, we both knew it wasn't good.
Right.
And turns out to be an ACL. Reggie-like, he has the surgery like 2 days later.
Yeah.
so he can get back on the field faster. And he's rehabbing, Chuck Pagano said, 3 times a day. And during the games on Sunday that Chuck was watching, Reggie's texting him saying, why'd they do that? Why'd they do this?
Can't get away.
No, he can't get away from the game, and he can't get away from the Colts.
I was watching a Robert Mathis interview on NFL Network earlier this week. They asked him about Reggie and if he would come back, and Robert kind of laughed at it. He goes, you know, it was almost like a stupid question. He will be back on the field, hopefully, at the start of the 2014 season, and definitely will continue to put up career numbers with this team.
I'm kind of like Mike Chappell wrote in the Star the other day, don't bet against Reggie Wayne starting the first game of 2014. He's not supposed to be back medically until the end of October.
Right.
They're going to have ball and chains to keep him off the field. The Reggie Wayne, Robert Mathis thing. Did an interview with them about a month ago.
Yeah.
They've become, over the years, very close friends. Their wives get along together. Their kids will once Roberts grow up a little bit. But they're two guys that are so close.
Yeah.
On opposite sides of the ball. And they're leaders, both of them. And both of them all-time great Colts. One thing that nobody's really mentioned a whole lot, with 103, Robert needs 5 sacks to break the franchise record held by a pretty good player named Dwight Freeney. I don't know where we'd be without those two guys. I really don't. And now we don't have one of them.
Those are two pillar Colts that have been through it all over the better part of the past decade. Let's look at now at Houston, a team that is battling injuries like Bob alluded to earlier. Brian Cushing out for the year. Arian Foster, Ben Tate, their top two running backs look like will be game time decisions with rib and hamstring injury. Case Keenum will get his first start at home, his second NFL start. He played pretty well against the Chiefs on the road. It's a tough defense and a tough place to play before the bye week. This is a must win for the Texans. They are 2-5. They need this game. The Colts are looking for their first win down there since 09. So I think with Keenum at the helm, their home crowd and their team knows this is a must win.
They really do, and it's a must-win because, as I mentioned before, if they drop 4 games behind the Colts by losing on Sunday, and you've got 8 games left to play, their mathematical chances of winning the division are extremely slim.
Right.
Not impossible, but extremely slim. The Colts know that going down there. The practice this week has been really, really good. The football team is loose. They're having fun at practice. But they always have fun at practice. This is, to me, at times, one of the strangest teams I've ever been around. They have more fun at practice than at games. And if you ask them, they'll say, no, the work is during the week. The fun is on Sunday. If that holds true this week, we're going to have a lot of fun on Sunday. But it's not going to be easy. We've got to be able to run the football down there. You've got to somehow or another find somebody who can block J.J. Watt, maybe put a couple extra guys on the field, assuming that they can't count. But it's a very tough game. As you mentioned, they've won 3 straight down there. We've won 11 straight here. It's kind of getting to be that kind of series, and the Colts need to shake up the numbers a little bit. Can't turn the ball over down there. Just can't do it. Keenum is a guy that runs. They're going to put the rollout back in their game plan. Schaub's been hurt.
So that, yep. I've seen so many times with them.
They're going to do it more. They didn't do it because Matt was hurting.
Yeah.
They've got 2 of the great runners in the league, and Arian Foster, who's 7th in the league this year despite a ton of injuries, and Ben Tate. I kind of snickered when you said game time decision. One of them's got a bad hamstring. The other one's got, reportedly, 4 cracked ribs. They both say they're going to play.
Yeah.
And, again, I would assume they're going to play.
Same.
They've got Andre Johnson. Keenum was 15 of 25 for a bunch of yards.
270, yeah.
And a touchdown, no picks. Had a quarterback rating of 110. He's a rollout guy. He was at Houston, the University of, and he is now. And so the Colts have to contain him. Robert Mathis, Eric Walden, maybe the 2 key players on Sunday.
Definitely. Let's look at the Houston defense, number 1 defense yard-wise in the NFL, number 1 pass defense. Talked about J.J. Watt. I think a good thing for the Colts is Watt last year down there had three sacks against the Colts in the Week 15 meeting. Gosder Chehrless is on this team now. He's done a good job against Cameron Wake earlier this season. Alden Smith was held in check as well the week after the Colts played Cameron Wake. So I think Chehrless really welcomes this chance to go up against who Chuck called earlier in the week the best defensive player in the NFL and J.J. Watt.
Well, J.J. was the player of the year defensively a year ago. He's having, by his standards, an off year. 4.5 sacks, but he got 2 last week.
Receiving a lot more attention.
Oh, yeah, they're blocking him with 4 or 5 guys. And people forget Whitney Mercilius, who's got 4.5. They've got talent everywhere. They're number one in the league against the pass. Andrew's going to have to, and without Reggie, you know, you're going to have to find some common ground in there. And that's going to be one of the key tasks. When you look at Houston, you say, okay, they're number one defensively. They've got a great running game. Their passer is good. Why are they 2-5? It's relatively simple. They're minus 11 in the giveaway takeaway. And when you do that, when you turn the ball over, Keenum, as good a game as he had last week, got sacked 5 times. That's the best sack team in the league, but they're giving up too many sacks. So we've got to take advantage of that and control the football. Third downs, again, and even more than that, Kevin, first down. The Houston Texans are third in the league, giving up the fewest yards on first down, which puts you in second and third and long. And the Colts have to do better. They're giving up 3.7 on first down. And their percentage, they're one of the top 10 teams, third downs, getting off the field. The Colts have to convert third downs, and they've got to get off the field on third downs and kind of give Houston a little of their own medicine, make them go to second and third and long.
Biggest stat I saw this week, Bob, was the Texans lead the league in yards differential this year. They're plus 110, but they're second to last in point differential. It's just crazy to see. Kind of goes to that turnovers, like you said. So many pick sixes for this team, minus 11. They can move the ball at will on both sides of the football, but it's converting in those red zone chances that have hurt Houston.
And they're 31st in the league defensively in the red zone.
Right.
They're giving up 68% touchdowns. That's a bad stat for them. I hope it continues.
Definitely. Last thing I want to look at, Bob, before we call it quits today on this Friday, is the divisional race. The Colts will now play 5 AFC South games over the final 9 weeks. It's a game every other week. You've got at Houston this week, and in less than 2 weeks, you go to Tennessee on a Thursday night. If the Colts can somehow get these first 2 road games, it's a huge task to ask, but you would really do a lot of damage to those 2 teams in securing this 2-game AFC South lead that you now have and hopefully winning this title for the first time since 2010.
Well, you know, you and I have been talking about this. We looked at October as the, and counting the Houston game, as the toughest stretch the Colts
that
face.
4-game window.
Yes. But when you get through with it, you've got an improving St. Louis team. Go, as you said, to Tennessee on a short week. Then you've got a long week. Then you go to Arizona. Then you come back home to play Tennessee. Then you've got Cincinnati and Kansas City on the road in December. The good thing about December, when you look ahead to the schedule, we have all 3 division teams at home.
Yeah.
If you could split these next 2 games in the division. And, you know, you go into that last month with all 3 teams coming home, I think that's a huge advantage. But as Chuck and Ryan and everybody in this building will say, the only thing they're thinking about is Houston. If you beat Houston, you've taken a gigantic step toward the division title.
And the Colts have played very well in history. The second time they played these divisional games, I believe they're 14-1 in the last 15 games playing AFC South teams the second time. So thank you to Bob Lamy for joining us today on Colts Weekly. I'm your host, Kevin Bowen. Again, this will be the last primetime game in a stretch of 3, but the Colts will be back in primetime on that Thursday night or against the Titans here in a couple weeks. So you can listen to Bob and Jim Sorge on the Vectren Radio Network. Kickoff is 8:30 from Alliance Stadium, and for all post-game coverage, head to Colts.com. Thanks, guys.